welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, our motto in many ways over the course of the last several months has been improvise, adapt, and overcome. And we're doing that today, not able to use our studio as typical, but it is good to be with you on this Wednesday.
It's good to be here. And we're not even in the same location, but through modern marvel of technology, we can still work this together. And hopefully next week, things will be a little better than what they are this week. But onward we go.
And, that's right.
We want to talk about a couple of lessons that we've had recently. It's just been out of the park. Jason's been preaching those as I've been away, and then kind of run a ribbon through some of those because there's some common thoughts we need to see. A couple of weeks ago, Jason gave a lesson on what's it going to take. And in the midst of all the things we're facing right now, it's exposed a lot of weaknesses in a lot of areas of people's lives. And he used a great analogy of a four-legged stool and the idea of content, connection, community, and care. Those give us stability. That stool with only one leg is not stable. With two legs, it's not stable. But with all four legs, there's stability there. And it's going to take that commitment there on our part to have that. Then last week, as he kind of did a follow-up lesson, talked about the idea of being content, but not comfortable. And that really flies in our culture today. We like comfort. We don't like standing in line at the grocery store. We don't like uncomfortable situations. We have the air temperature the way we like it. We have our chairs the way we like. Everything is comfort in our lives. And the driving theme I got out of that lesson was there's a lot of things because of COVID-19 is going to be redefined. There's going to be a new norm coming out. But one of the new norms that cannot come out is staying at home, worshiping from afar. I'll just listen to a podcast. I'll just watch a video. The reason why that doesn't work is that God wants us to be together. And we understand for certain people right now, they cannot. But for a lot of people, they can. And this is coming down to a choice. Do I stay in my jammies with a cup of coffee in my hand and watch a video? Or do I get up and do what I used to do and come down to the church house? And so content, but not comfortable. Great, great thought.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you bringing up again that we understand there are a number of people who have no business being in a crowd indoors right now. And to me, one of the most challenging things going into that sermon was to try and make sure that I framed it as carefully as I could. The goal, of course, was not to throw a guilt trip to people who would love to be there with all of their heart, but know that a little more time needs to pass. That's not who we're talking about in this episode. And I think we need to continue to pray for those people, serve those people in whatever way we can. Our earnest desire is to see them face to face when the time is right. But like you have mentioned, there are some who it's not a matter of health. It's not a matter of an abundance of caution. It is a choice that is being made from a position of comfortability. And I tried to show in a couple of different ways that God, yes, he wants us to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves, even really tough situations. He wants us to be confident in Christ, But we need to have that attitude of Paul in Philippians chapter 3. I'm pressing on. I'm straining forward. I'm not on cruise control when it comes to my walk with Jesus.
Someday this will pass. You know, one of the favorite expressions in the Bible is it came to pass. It never comes to stay. It comes to pass. And someday this will be behind us. But when the clouds clear and this is behind us, what will that look like? That's what we're driving at. And it's real easy, because we've been months at this now, for some folks just to say, I'm just going to keep it going this way. I think we have a new definition of church, and that's going to be just me at my home. But that's not the way God designed it. And there's some powerful things such as fellowship, such as encouragement, admonition. Those are things that even accountability we need from each other's presence. And nothing will replace that. Now, it's also easy when we think about this idea of being comfortable to be comfortable in other things too. And I jotted down two or three simple topics. I thought we might go down that road. It's easy in this world today to be comfortable in sin. And I think that's because the world we live in, our world embraces sin. And there's a powerful passage in Jeremiah 6 where it said, the people no longer could blush. They no longer were embarrassed by things. It's shocking to think about some of the words that people are using. Even little people are using these words. And they have just embraced this idea of wrong. And so let's talk about that for a moment, how easy it is to be comfortable in sin. And when a person is comfortable, that's where they like to be. And they're not going to move out of that. And that's a problem when we deal with the gospel.
When I think of that from the standpoint of Christians, one of the first sections of scripture that comes to my mind is Revelation 2 and 3. We know there are churches there, right? Seven churches in Asia that are addressed by Jesus. And a thread through several of those letters is, wake up. Strengthen what is barely hanging on. You have turned your back on, in one instance, your first love. Or he speaks of garments that have been soiled. You're no longer walking in white, or you're tolerating what God finds intolerable. You know, you're talking about language in 2020. Maybe it's some sort of doctrine that we know is out of harmony with the gospel that is being tolerated. Maybe someone who is teaching that. I think of the warning of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where he points out sexual immorality that even unbelieving Gentiles would find out of bounds, but is being tolerated by Christians in Corinth. And he says, this is not good. You are spiritually asleep at the wheel. That can be true of individuals. That can be true of families. That can be true of an entire congregation of people. It is not okay to be comfortable with what God finds abhorrent. I'm reminded of that famous statement in Habakkuk, where God says through the prophet that he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look at wrong. That's our God. That's an aspect of his holiness. But when I just embrace evil and use it to entertain myself and laugh at it and promote it, I am absolutely comfortable with something that my Heavenly Father finds shameful. That's a bad place to be spiritually.
In Ephesians, Paul said, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. The idea of callous is, you know, you think about walking outside and your feet got calluses, you can step on something that doesn't bother your feet anymore. And you no longer see it. You no longer sense it. It's amazing somebody can go to a movie and say, that's a great movie. There's hardly any bad words. And then you go on the recommendation and you're just shocked how many bad words there are. Why didn't the other guy get that? Because he's become callous. He doesn't even recognize the things that are wrong. So one thing we have to be tender about, we have to be sensitive and not become comfortable with wrong. Now, how do we do that? Okay, what's the steps? Okay, the world we live in, it's not shocked anymore. I mean, you go to the modern airport, you'd be amazed what people are wearing anymore. It's like, I can't believe you're wearing that. And the things people say, the things people are doing. So we need to be a people that are sensitive to wrong. How do we do that?
I think a very foundational part of that is respecting and protecting the conscience that God has given me. Maybe we don't talk enough about our consciences. We know that that is pointed out in the Bible. You mentioned the warning to the Ephesians, the idea of a seared conscience. You know, if I take my hand and I put it on a hot stovetop the first time, boy, is that going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. And the second time that I do it, and the third time that I do it, it's going to hurt. But no doubt about the fact, from a scientific point of view, if I just keep putting my hand on that hot stovetop, I'm going to destroy the nerve endings in my hand, and eventually I could put my hand on that hot stovetop and not be bothered. That's the way that our consciences are. And you only have one of them. You can't buy a new one on Amazon. I can't wear one out and then go to some sort of a store and have it popped off and a new one popped on like a spare tire. That conscience is given to me by God, which means even very young people, if I'm watching something, maybe I go to a party and everybody else is watching a movie and I'm seeing or hearing things that I've never heard before, and I would be embarrassed for mom and dad to know that I'm watching this. If I know, if Jesus were sitting beside me, this is not the way that he would have me to talk and live, and things that he would have me to laugh at. If I've got that uneasiness, I need to listen to that uneasiness and allow that to be like fuel to get out of that situation, and not be ashamed to tell other people why I've gotten out of that situation.
That's why God gives us guilt.
Yeah,
guilt is that conscience. Conscience, I've been told, is like a watch. You know, I was out west last week and I wore a watch, but I kept it on Indiana time. It's 2 hours difference from where I was, but I always want to know where my kids were at, what time it was for them. My brethren back home, I want to know what time it was for them. So your watch is only good, number one, if it's working and if it's set to the right time. So is your conscience. So you hear something and you're bothered. That's a good sign. The more Bible that's in you, the more you walk with Jesus, the more you're going to have that conscience, and you'll see things. And we get to the point where things don't bother us anymore. Words don't bother us. We better look at our conscience. It stopped working, and it's not going to help us that way. So one area we can be comfortable with is we can be comfortable with sin. And that's a sad, sad place to be. That's why the Bible uses words like reprove and rebuke. It's supposed to kick the legs out from under us, make us realize where we're at, and we need to be right with Jesus. Another place we can be comfortable with is just doing as little as possible. And again, I think that's our culture today. Why should I go out of my way? What's in it for me? And if I don't get some payback out of this, I don't want to do this. And so being comfortable with being lazy, or being comfortable with just doing as little as possible, that again can be the signs of the times. that reflects into the church. There's that 80-20 principle, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And if that be the case, where are the rest of the folks? Maybe they're comfortable doing as little as possible. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, when I think of that, one of the words that I would attach just logically, naturally, is immaturity. I don't know that we could come up with someone who has the attitude, I want to do as little as possible. And in the same breath, we would say, that's a really mature person. No, we recognize that is the fruit of immaturity. Maybe it's even more serious than that. Maybe it's just the fruit of rebellion, the fruit of absolute selfishness. The book of Proverbs, right in the heart of the Bible, has a lot to say about the sluggard, the lazy sluggard who knows that things need to happen and he or she just doesn't do it. But I really like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, how he is led by the Spirit to attach the very opposite attitude of being a sluggard to maturity. You know, you can go back and read in Philippians chapter 3 the resume that he puts forth, that if anybody has reason to have confidence in the flesh, he says, I'm right there at the top of the list. And he rehearses his physical genealogy, his education, his past record of zeal. But then he addresses Christians in an ancient context, a modern context, and he says, not that I have already obtained this. And the this is knowing Jesus, fully knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He says in Philippians 3, verse 12, I'm not already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Let's just pause there for a moment. That is focus, singular focus. The person who's got the attitude, well, I'm comfortable just letting other people do the work. I'm comfortable with minimal Christianity, minimal investment, minimal sacrifice. They're not focused like a laser, the way Paul is here, as he says, I forget what lies behind. I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal. And then he says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. Lazy people are not mature. Uninvested people are not mature. It's maturity that says, okay, enough of this childish self-centeredness. I'm going to focus on what really matters in life. It reminds me of that famous account in David's life where he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and somebody offers to give him basically everything that he would need in order to make sacrifices. And David says, no, I'm not going to offer to God what costs me nothing. God is worth more than that.
And I think somewhere down the road, people have this idea that going to heaven is like a grading system.
Yeah.
And I may not be the honor roll. I may not make A's and B's, but as long as I pass.
C's get degrees.
Yeah, I may get a C minus even, you know, but as long, maybe even a D plus. But as long as I pass, it's okay. Well, first of all, you won't find that in the Bible. Won't find that in the Bible. What you find are these words such as being diligent, pressing on. And so that takes us to 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. There are three major thoughts in that passage there. Number one, the idea of diligence. Get about it. You know, go do it. That's all that word simply means. Don't put it off. Don't say when I get around to it, not next week, but you do it and you do it now. Be diligent, he says. Present yourselves approved to God. You know, I get this idea of an inspection line. Here's all the soldiers, and they know that they're going to be inspected by the lieutenant. And here's a guy, his shirt tail's hanging out. He doesn't have his shoes on. His hair's not combed. He's not going to do well. He's going to be in big trouble because he's not presented himself well to God. And that's the idea there. And then he says the third concept here is a workman who does not need to be ashamed. What kind of workman needs to be ashamed? Well, the guy who shows up and doesn't work.
Yeah.
The guy who wants a paycheck, but he plays solitaire and computer all day long. The guy who's on eBay and Amazon and doesn't do the work unless the boss is walking by. He has a lot to be ashamed for. Okay. Here he's saying you're presenting yourself as a workman who is not ashamed. You're proud of your work because you've given it your best. And not comparing you to someone else, but you have done the best that you can do. Be diligent. Present yourself. Not ashamed. That's the idea that we see here.
Sure. And I love how Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 has really good things to say about how the Thessalonians were living, the brotherly affection and love that they had for one another. He essentially says in verse 9, well done. And then he tells them in verse 10, excel still more in that. That's the calling of the Christian. Do things well and then do it more and more.
And there's that little book of Philemon where when Paul's writing to Philemon, he tells him that I know you'll do more than I've asked.
Yeah.
It's not doing as little as I've asked. It's not doing the same thing I asked. You're going to do more than I ask.
And when you have a congregation full of people with that attitude, you can change the culture for the good. You can have contagious discipleship. People notice something special is going on there. That is the sort of dynamic I believe that you see all over the book of Acts. When you've got a group of people who are invested and will do more than is required, always looking to do more, God can do special things with a group of people like that.
So don't be comfortable. That's what we're driving at. Don't be comfortable worshiping at home. Don't get used to it, okay? It's like a guy on crutches. Don't get used to those. Pretty soon you got to put those crutches down and get back to walking, okay? Don't get comfortable in this world. Because this world is not our home, and don't be comfortable doing as little as possible. We need to be busy doing what God wants us to do. Those are some great thoughts. This Sunday, I'm going to try to put a ribbon between all of these and drive them together. As you think about that first lesson, what's it going to take? And then content but not comfortable, we're going to talk about the price of victory. God tells us as Christians, we will be victorious, but every victory, whether it's on the sports field, it's on the battlefield, comes with a cost. And what is that cost for us to win? And that's what we're going to talk about.
Yes, just two things here. I would really plug, if our listeners have not watched the last two Bible Words You Should Know videos, I think these complement perfectly what we're talking about. We've been talking about some modern practical applications. But Roger, the last two Sunday evenings, you have had pre-recorded videos that we released about just the word, the concept, church. I believe that if we retain that biblical concept of church, it keeps us out of a lot of this comfortability that we're being warned about. But also this past Sunday evening's Bible Word You Should Know, worship. And if listeners have not had the opportunity to watch those, they're freely available at charlestownroad.org. Those are the first two in a series that we're doing, just revolving around the idea of church. And we're doing that because when we think church, when we think worship, we don't want to allow the comfortable secular culture around us to define those words and concepts for us. We want to make sure that we're using and thinking of those things as our Heavenly Father thinks of them. The other thing, just to briefly mention, of course, this evening, Wednesday, our summer series continues. Jonathan Banning is going to be with us from the Tampa, Florida area. He's going to be continuing that whole series, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory, and he'll be speaking this evening at 7 o'clock on this powerful phrase, My Heart Still Burns Within. If you're local and planning on joining us, please be sure to check in at charlestownroad.org to make sure that we've got adequate seating space available and prepared. That will also be live streamed, of course, at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Lots of resources available to keep us content and confident in Jesus Christ, but not comfortable. Roger, I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode. And of course, very much looking forward to this coming Sunday. It's the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.